Well, please turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 18, and we'll be reading verses 21 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, which if you're using a church Bible, I believe is on page 823. Be the last parable that I'll be preaching on this series. So we've got Johnny preaching next week, and then I'll be doing a short series in the summer, still to decide exactly what. I say the summer, I mean over August, really. So this is the last parable that we'll be looking at in this current series. So let us listen carefully to the word of the Lord, starting at verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him, who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Are you always willing and even glad to forgive when someone commits some wrong against you, when a fellow Christian sins against you and repents and seeks forgiveness from you? Are you always willing, even glad, to forgive that person? Maybe at first you are. Maybe at first you are glad to forgive that person for their sin. But what if they commit the same sin again? And again they seek forgiveness and you forgive them. And then what if they commit the same sin again and again and again and again? Would you still be willing, let alone glad, to forgive that person? And that's Peter's question here that he asks of Jesus in verse 21. Jesus, just before this passage, has been speaking about what you should do in the event that someone doesn't repent of their sin, what procedures you should follow as a church. But this then raises a question in Peter's mind when he asks the Lord, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? In other words, what do I do if a brother sins against me, repents, and I forgive him, but then commits that same sin again and again? How often should I forgive him? What is the limit, if you like, on the amount of forgiveness that I should give? When is enough is enough? Is seven the limit? And Peter's probably thinking he's being quite generous here by suggesting seven times at that at this particular time. I think a number of the rabbis taught that you should forgive someone three times, and then after that, you don't need to. So Peter's probably thinking he's being quite generous here by suggesting that he forgives a brother seven times. And then Jesus gives this incredible response in verse 22. I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, Jesus is saying, you should always be willing to forgive a penitent brother. Always. There should be no limit on your willingness to forgive someone. You should have a heart of forgiveness as a disciple of mine. That's what Jesus is saying there. Now, he's not saying, of course, that there aren't consequences for the offender. Jesus isn't saying that at all. But he is saying that as one of his disciples, you should always be willing, even glad, to forgive someone who has wronged you, who has sinned against you. You should have, as one of my disciples, Jesus is saying, a heart that is glad to forgive. And then Jesus goes on to really amplify this point that he's made in verse 22 about having an unlimited willingness to forgive. He goes on to amplify this point in the parable that he then tells his disciples. And there are three particular things that I want to draw out from this parable this morning regarding this whole topic of forgiveness. So we'll go through them one by one. The first point, and this is where I'll be for the majority of my time, the first point really regards the reason that you must forgive your brother. The reason that you must forgive your brother or your sister. Jesus explains this scenario where you have a king who wishes to settle accounts with his servants. So he calls them in. He wants them to pay back their debts that he's loaned to them. But this man is brought to him who owes him 10,000 talents, and that is a huge amount. That is an astronomical amount. If you've got an ESV translation, I think it even says in a footnote that one talent, was the equivalent of about 20 years' wages for a labourer, the sort of work that this servant would have been doing. In other words, and I think my maths is correct here, he would have had to have worked for 200,000 years in order to be able to pay off this debt. And the point, of course, that Jesus is making is that there is no way whatsoever that this servant can pay off this astronomical debt. It's impossible for him to pay it off. And so the master threatens to send him and his wife and children, all that he has, to prison until he pays it off. Threatens to sell them into slavery. But then the servant falls on his knees and he implores him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. Of course, he won't ever be able to pay him everything, but he pleads for mercy. He pleads for compassion to be shown. And that is exactly what the master then shows. Verse 27, out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. And that word pity means deep, heartfelt compassion. He really felt compassion for this servant. He wasn't sort of reluctantly, half-heartedly forgiving him. No, he had complete compassion towards this man in his helpless, hopeless condition. And so he forgives him and releases him from owing him that debt. Now, of course, this servant's great debt represents our sin. It represents our sin. Every one of us, children, you need to know this. Every single one of us, every single person in the whole world, without exception, is a sinner. Someone who is a debtor to God. Someone who owes him obedience, but has only given him disobedience. That is the Bible's verdict upon humanity. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is a debtor to God. We are in debt to him. And none of us can pay off that debt. None of us at all. Our debt, in fact, just keeps growing and growing. Every day we sin. Every day we sin repeatedly, constantly. The same sins quite often. Habitual sins. Every day our debt, the debt of our sin, keeps growing. Not for one moment do we love God with all of our heart. Not for one moment do we love our neighbor as ourselves. Every day, repeatedly, we violate those two great commandments. And our debt just keeps mounting. It keeps getting bigger, bigger, and bigger. There's a website called the nationaldebtclock.co.uk, which I was looking at this past week. Nationaldebtclock.co.uk, which shows to you the amount of national debt that this country is in and how it goes up every second. Every single second it goes up by £5,170. And it's quite depressing viewing. You just see the figure getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The clock, the debt clock, ticks round and round and round. It's now over, I think, £2 trillion. And if I can put it this way, every day your sin debt clock ticks round and round and round and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's impossible to pay off. You have, to use the terms of the parable, you have 10,000 talents worth of sin. And what happens if you don't pay off that debt? You face a penalty. And the penalty is eternity, an eternity of punishment in hell. And so you are left in a desperate plight. If you don't pay off your debt created by your sin to God, then you will be sent to everlasting punishment in hell. But there is no way that you can pay off your debt. You are helpless. You are hopeless. But like the king in the parable, God is moved with pity. God feels compassion towards such helpless and hopeless people whose debt against him is worth 10,000 talents. Times 10,000 talents. And God, you see, like the king in this parable, God has released you from your debt. He has discharged your debt. He has forgiven all of your sins. All of your guilt is gone as a Christian. All of your guilt is gone. You are no longer under the guilt of your sin, no longer condemned by God. And how has God done this? He's done this by paying the debt himself. That's the Bible's explanation. He has released you from your debt by paying it himself. You know, the king in this parable, by not getting his 10,000 talents back, bore that cost himself, didn't he? He had to write that off his accounts. He wasn't going to get that 10,000 talents back. And he had to therefore bear that cost himself. His forgiveness, in other words, cost him. It cost him big. It was entirely free for the servant, entirely free. He didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to do anything. But it was incredibly costly for the king. And exactly the same thing is true of God. Your forgiveness as a believer, as a disciple, your forgiveness is absolutely free. You don't pay for it. You don't earn it. You receive it. You ask, Father, forgive me. And he gives that to you, free of charge. But of course, for him, it was not free. It was incredibly costly. It cost him the world, we might say. It cost him the life of his own precious son. It cost Jesus the agony of the cross. It cost Jesus the torment of hell as he hung upon the cross. It cost him the agony of being forsaken by his Father. It cost him big. But for you, it's absolutely free. That's the gospel. It's absolutely free of charge. God himself has paid the debt. And he has discharged it from your account. You have been, brothers and sisters, you have been set at liberty. Your sin no longer stands against you. It's all been paid for in full by the blood of Christ. Your sins reach up to the skies. Your sins plumb the depths of the oceans. But they've all been forgiven. They've been, as we read in Micah, trodden underfoot. They've been buried in the depths of the sea. Children, listen to this. Yes, you are a sinner, but your God has a heart of forgiveness. You need to know that. That's where your hope is. Everyone listen. That's where your hope is, not in yourself. Your hope is in God, who has a heart of forgiveness. He has pitied you. He has had compassion on you in your helpless and hopeless state. And that, you see, is the reason you must forgive your brother or your sister. That is the reason. You have been forgiven so very much. We don't know, actually. We will never begin to know how much we have been forgiven. But we have been forgiven 10,000 talents worth of sin. And so how can you, how can I, how can we withhold forgiveness from our brothers and sisters? But of course, that's exactly what we see this servant doing, isn't it, as we proceed with the parable. And this moves me to my next point, which is the wickedness of not forgiving your brother. The wickedness of not forgiving your brother. This servant who's just been released from his debt, we read, goes out and verse 28 finds one of his fellow servants who owes him 100 denarii, and he seizes him, begins to choke him and says, pay what you owe. And then his fellow servant pleads with him, have patience with me. He uses exactly the same words as the other servant had previously used. Have patience with me and I will pay you. And he could have paid him. It's only 100 denarii. But he refuses. And he puts him in prison until he should pay the debt. This other servant only owed him 100 denarii. Nothing whatsoever compared to what the other servant owed his master. But the servant who has been forgiven so much, whose debt has been cancelled, he refuses to show pity to his fellow servant. And the point is this. The point is this. Comparatively speaking, the sins that are committed against you are really very, very small. Comparatively speaking. I'm not saying that they're not serious. I'm not trying to dilute the sinfulness of them, or to suggest that it's somehow easy for you to forgive. But the truth is that, comparatively speaking, the sins that are committed against you are actually extremely small. They are, if you like, the equivalent of 100 denarii. Not 10,000 talents. That represents your sin against God. The sins committed against you, they're more like 100 denarii. They're a drop of water compared to the 10,000 oceans of sin that you have committed against God. And yet, is it not the case that we, can be so incredibly like the unmerciful servant. Someone offends you in the church. Someone does do something wrong against you, and you become apoplectic with rage. How dare that person? How dare they do that to me? Do they not know who I am? How could I ever forgive such a person? Outwardly, you might say you forgive them, but inwardly, you are raging at that person and you are plotting the day that you shall take your revenge. It's not easy to forgive. It is costly. Costly for the one who has to give it. But you see, when you refuse to forgive someone, you are effectively being like what the unmerciful servant is like. That's effectively who you are. When you refuse to forgive a penitent brother, you are effectively being like this unmerciful servant. You are, so to speak, grabbing them by the neck, choking them, saying, "Pay what you owe me. Pay what you owe me." And you are doing this, you see, having escaped the crushing wrath of God. God who, quite rightly, could have, so to speak, grabbed you by the neck and choked you to death and made you pay what you owe him. You are saying, in effect, "I am more than happy to be forgiven and to be forgiven much." I like that. I like that a lot. But there is no way, no way at all, I am going to forgive that person for that sin. Back in the 1970s, there was this football player called Norman Hunter, played for a team called Leeds United, a very good team at the time, and a very physical team. You might even have said they were a dirty team. And Norman Hunter was really the leader of Leeds United in terms of acting dirtily on the football pitch. He was even called "Bite Your Legs Off Hunter," I think. He used to just charge into tackles, chop people down, break their legs. But you see, if anyone did anything, the slightest thing to him, apparently, I found this out recently, apparently he had a little notebook, and he would make a note after the match of the person who had done any small thing to him, and he'd record the date, and next time they played against each other, he would exact his revenge. He would keep a record of wrongs, you see. Even though he was guilty of far worse. Are you a Norman Hunter Christian? Guilty of 10,000 talents worth of sin, which has not been counted against you, but keeping a record of all those 100 denarii worth of sins that people commit against you. And look at the master's assessment of the unmerciful servant's behavior. Stark, isn't it? "You wicked servant. You wicked servant." That is God's verdict on you if you refuse to forgive someone from the heart. You wicked servant. When you have been shown such mercy, it is wicked of you to withhold showing mercy to others. Third and final point, and I'll be quick here, a warning against not forgiving your brother. The master, in his anger, delivers the unmerciful servant to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. In other words, he's there forever, cast off into hell. And then Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Friends, if you don't forgive one another from your heart, in other words, if you don't genuinely forgive someone, not just mouthing the words, but genuinely forgiving them, then you are liable to be sent to hell. And Jesus' point is this, really. He's not saying that your salvation is dependent upon your good works of forgiveness. His point is this, that if you act like the unmerciful servant, then it probably shows that you've not really grasped how merciful God has been to you. It probably shows that you've not really understood how much you have been forgiven. It probably shows that you're not indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of grace, mercy, forgiveness. It may well show that you are not, in other words, a Christian. For if you were, you would be ready, willing, maybe even glad, eager to forgive one who has wronged you. So, as I conclude, let me ask you this morning, as I've asked myself this past week, do you have a heart of forgiveness? A heart that's eager to forgive, a heart that keeps no record of wrongs. And maybe you are sitting there saying to yourself, no, I don't. You're being honest. You're saying, no, I don't have such a heart. But I want to have such a heart. And I think probably we're all in that boat, aren't we, as Christians? We have to repent of our unwillingness to forgive. But we all want a heart that genuinely, like Christ, genuinely does forgive others. So how do you get such a heart? Let me say two basic things. Two basic things. First of all, ask God to show you how deeply sinful you are. Spend some time thinking about how deeply sinful you are. Trying to see something of the magnitude of the debt that you owe to God. Remember how utterly in yourself helpless and hopeless you are. Try to remember these things. But then secondly, don't just stop there. Secondly, remember that in Christ God has discharged all of your debt. That 10,000 talents worth of sin has been discharged. Not one sin, not one of your sins will ever be counted against you. You know, I think the reason the unmerciful servant was unmerciful was because he hadn't quite grasped these two realities. He hadn't quite grasped the magnitude of his debt, nor had he grasped the magnitude of the mercy that was shown to him. And you see, you won't develop a heart of forgiveness by setting yourself a target like 7 times. That's legalism. That's legalism. You'll cultivate a heart of forgiveness by immersing yourself in the God whose heart is one of forgiveness, by immersing yourself in the gospel of his free grace and mercy. That is how you will cultivate a heart of forgiveness. And as you do so, this is a journey. This takes time. But as you do so, forgiving a brother will be costly. It won't be easy most of the time anyway. It will be costly. But as you immerse yourself more in God and his gospel, you will become increasingly eager, even glad, to forgive those who sin against you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, our Father, that you are the merciful King who has released us from our debt and set us free. And in the light of that, Lord, we pray that we would be merciful servants, extending forgiveness to those who sin against us. Lord, please create such hearts of forgiveness in us. We confess we don't genuinely forgive others as we ought to, but we long to have such a heart of forgiveness, and so we pray that you would create that in us by your Spirit. Help us to be mindful of how sinful we are, but also how gloriously gracious you are and how much you have forgiven us. And these things we pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen.